Good morning. Dogen calls a practice period carving a cave out of emptiness. So here we are, all dedicated cave carvers. We come with the pickaxes of our minds and causes and conditions, and maybe that changes over the course of a sesshin. Maybe it ends up going to scooping, and maybe just blowing out of space, you know, putting air where air was. It becomes not so much an effort. In last night's ceremony, I get to say to the Shuso, please help me. And she did. I'm kind of speaking to the choir here, because one of the things that I think my job is to be a cheerleader for this practice of sesshin, of sitting period after period, day after day. And of course, you're all the ones who think exactly that same way. You put your name on the line and here you are. So I'm kind of speaking to the choir. I use that term for Edie. You know, I was gone for 2 weeks, you know, just before this, so it was up to Edie to make the announcements in the mornings and on Wednesday nights, and I told her just be a real cheerleader for this practice of just sitting and the real opportunity to carve such an experience, if we can call it an experience, to carve such a opportunity to explore the nature of reality. I think this practice has nurtured me in ways that I can't describe, other than to say this practice is nurturing for me. The sitting practice, Suzuki said, just practice with me every day. And we chant in the morning. The dedication is for the tranquility of daily practice. Is very nurturing. And this sesshin practice, this retreat practice that is so much a part of the culture of Soto Zen, underlines that even more. We even have the opportunity in our lifetime, you know, every few years, maybe every decade, we can practice for 3 months at one of the monasteries that our Soto school provides for us. So we've got We've got many opportunities to really settle into this body and mind with our daily practice, with the half a dozen sesshins that we do here each year, and then every so often getting a real big meal at one of the practice centers at one of the monasteries, Tassajara or Green Gulch. And I was just at the Mount Tremper Center, part of the Maizumi Roshi lineage in upstate New York. You can sit there for 2 or 3 months in the beautiful Catskills and meet their wonderful community. There's a newsletter from another Buddhist organization on the bulletin board, and the talk is, why do we do this practice? Or she made it more personal. Why do I do this practice? And she said her stock answer for that is for the suffering and the searching. And she makes light of it, but she goes on. She says that's a pretty good reason. This sitting practice can kind of help pretty quickly with the suffering. Maybe just temporary. Maybe if we come to practice because of some suffering that we've identified in our lives, and someone has said that it's helpful to meditate, we can do that anytime. And I think we can find this 40 minutes of sitting kind of relaxing. We can take a load off pretty easily by just sitting quietly for 40 minutes. If those difficult thoughts keep flooding back, over the course of a short time at any Zen center, a student learns a few valuable techniques for just quieting the mind, for just quieting it down a little bit. Maybe not completely, but quieting it so that we really feel like this sitting practice is benefiting right now with this suffering that I came here to get some relief from. So that's the suffering part. And then I think the searching part takes a little longer. I think we have to be at the Zen Center a little longer with our sitting practice before we realize that that searching really, maybe we start out there. I need a better perspective. I need a perspective on the world. It's making me crazy. I need a better perspective for out there. But the more we sit, that scan of the horizon for a better perspective kind of twists right around. And I think the searching part brings us inward. And we even get kind of a different idea about what suffering is. When we've got the light of practice turned inward, when we've taken that backward step and looked inward, when we've turned the light around, these are all great metaphors for, I think, what that searching part does, the suffering and searching. It kind of brings us back right here to this body and mind. And that's what I think keeps us here. What keeps us coming back in the mornings, or what keeps us coming back in the evenings to sit another period. What keeps us signing back up for Sesshin. I think when we've sat enough, it might take a short time, it might take a longer time, but when we've sat enough that we're really comfortable turning that light inward and really exploring this body and mind, that keeps us coming back no matter what difficulties we might have in these 3 or 4 day sesshins or the 7 day sesshins, with the pain coming up in our legs or the stiffness in our back and necks. We sort of say, you know, that was an incredible journey, turning that light inward, that flashlight of consciousness, really looking at this body and mind. It was an incredible journey. Another wise monk in the community was telling me about her practice to just say yes. And of course, you know, we've heard that before. That was also Catherine's big awakening moment, is learning to just say yes to this life, to this body and mind. And it's a real shift, and requires this kind of sitting, this kind of searching, to just take on that practice of just saying yes to life as it comes up. The no practice, the just say no, is kind of like, you know, playing tennis, hitting the ball against the wall over and over again. You know, with all of our defenses, we just keep batting away life as it comes to us. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. That's a little better. But it's this constantly, with this mind that's developed these habits and these conditions and has lived in this world for 66 years. I've got lots of habits that I know how to protect. You know, I know how to get the best for this one by now. I know, you know, what to bat away and what to let slide through. I think that's the no practice. And the yes practice is playing tennis with that person on the other side of the net. Is that the yes practice is, I'm really engaging with my life. I'm really engaging with someone. I'm nothing without this total engagement of life. It's not to be battered away or let through. It's about playing. It's about engaging with it and connecting with everything. You know, Venus and Serena Williams aren't champions because they can hit the ball against the wall really well, which I'm sure they can do, but that's not what makes them champions. You can't imagine their play without them being in a tournament, without them being, engaged totally in the world with at least one other person. So yes, practice is really that total engagement. It's not seeing the world so much as something out there, but something that is totally myself, that I can't even imagine myself not engaging in this situation right now. That's our yes practice. And our yes practice kind of brings us a little bit deeper. It shines that light a little bit deeper through all of those habits and defenses that we've developed over the years, that is so willing to kind of protect this body and mind and keep life out there where I can manipulate it. Yes, practice is really kind of going in through those tangles of habits and settling in this open, more spacious place that is willing to engage, abide with any of the causes and conditions that might come up for us. And we have to, and that's that yes practice, or that cultivation of open acceptance and engagement and intimacy with the world. It's cultivated with this practice. And it takes a little time, which these sesshins can afford us. It doesn't happen. I can feel pretty relaxed in 40 minutes, but really cultivating that open acceptance and intimacy I need to settle in period after period, day after day, really kind of settle in there. In the guidelines this morning, Liz was reading to us. It encouraged us to become one with sesshin and thus drop off body and mind. That's there in the last paragraph. Become one. So that's kind of our yes practice. The first thing I was aware of this morning was the alarm going off. And me feeling comfortable in the bed and that alarm over there calling me to do something else. So that, I can't say that I was one with sesshin at that moment. That was more the hitting the ball against the wall mind. But that was just the first minute. That was just the first minute. And we've got, 4 days for this kind of wonderful cultivation of the team sport that we call life. Or at the very least, the team sport that we call sesshin. So we've sat a few periods now. We've had a great meal where we did this dance together of serving and chanting and eating. So this is how the ball gets set in play. And yes, that's going to be today's metaphor, I can tell. So it's starting to work on me. I'm starting to feel part of this great energy of Sesshin, and I'll just keep settling into the schedule, the meals, the chanting, and that's how we become one with Sesshin, and thus drop away body and mind. I think Dogen, who said drop away body and mind, I think he meant those, you know, those defenses that batter the ball, batter life away, that manipulate life, that we've learned, those defenses that we've learned how to manipulate for our favor. I think that's what Dogen meant when he said, you know, drop body and mind. But I want to give Catherine some credit. I'm getting my inspiration for the talks, this Sesshin, out of Catherine's book that came out in March, The Truth of This Life. And you know, those of us who have it have been reading it since March, and it's so rich. And Natalie Goldberg and Bill and Nellie did such a great job in compiling these lectures and putting them together, and so it's been a good inspiration. And a lot of these talks came out of Sesshins, just like this. So they were the talks that I thought, you know, she's a real cheerleader for this practice. She's got me doing it. She's got me becoming one with Sesshin. I won't tell the whole story, but one miserable, cold, rainy, and underlined cold Sesshin at at Jikoji, they've fixed it up great now, but in the 90s it was a little rustic, and they didn't even use their zendo at all. The monks that lived up there all kind of huddled in this teeny little room that, you know, they could put a few logs in the teeny little potbelly stove and it would be warm forever. The big zendo, which was like three times the biggest this, it took 2 days of the fire going all the time to get warm. And that's where we were sitting. But so Catherine, maybe out of necessity, had to be a great cheerleader. Or otherwise we'd all, in the night, secretly jump in our cars and go back home, down the hill. But she really, in one of those cold, rainy sesshins, she really made me feel that just this sitting away from everybody, away from my life that I felt was so valuable and did such great things in the world, you know, in my life when I was going to work every day. She made me feel that just this sitting isolated out there was the most important thing that I could be doing, that we could all be doing. So she was a good cheerleader. So I'm getting lots of inspiration from her Sesshin talks here. So Dogen talked about dropping body and mind. Catherine talks over and over about trusting body and mind, and I think it's the same. They're not so different. They're not opposing views. Trusting body and mind is developing that yes practice. That this body and mind, even here in the cold, even here, kind of curled up in this position, hour after hour, I trust this body and mind to be able to handle. I can take in anything, and this body and mind can dance with it in the same way that we were all dancing with our Oreoke bowls and with the servers and with the chanting today. I can do this with my body and mind. And that's the cultivation of yes practice, and that's developing trust in this body and mind. And as I said earlier, that's shining the light through or going below those defense mechanisms, those habits that we've developed over the years. I think it brings us to the same place that Dogen takes us when he says, let's drop body and mind. But I think Catherine, when she says this practice helps us trust body and mind, really speaks about the process of listening to the alarm, of putting our clothes on, of brushing our teeth, of getting here at 5:45 in the morning, bowing to each other, and just settling in and for period after period. I think it really points to this process that becomes so engaging for us that we keep signing up period after period. She says, you will find gradually through your sitting practice that the learning that comes out of Sesshin practice is not something that you can even say. You don't recognize it, but it might be the learning that will sustain your entire life. The patience that we develop through sitting here period after period, sustaining our effort, trusting our body and mind, is the effort that becomes the foundation of our life. When we sit here period after period, sustaining our effort, what opens up is, as we say, gee, I've been hitting this ball against this wall for years, and there's a whole other court out there. There's a whole, I can engage so much more fully in such a more spacious place. That's the opening that comes with trusting. You know, first I would only trust, you know, that little distance between myself and the wall. And I knew everything that was coming back at me, 'cause I'd practiced it over and over again before. I knew how to get out of difficult scrapes at work. I knew how to negotiate relationships. I knew how to when to stop drinking, when to put the glass down at the end of the night so I could get home. I know how to do all that, but it's a big world out there. There's a whole other court, and what's coming at me is stuff that I can't even imagine, but I'm willing to play full court now. That's what I think that this practice can help us cultivate. Becoming intimate with the whole works. With the whole works. One of our deeply shared convictions about ourselves is that we are unworthy. And that is a separating experience. I can only handle so much. I can only handle this, this wall bashing. Maybe that's what we think our sitting facing the wall is. At the beginning, the first few periods, it's wall bashing. And then it becomes full court. But maybe I can only handle so much. And I'm getting pretty good at it. And this is where I want to stay. Back. I only want to handle so much. This deeply shared conviction that we can only handle so much, that we're unworthy, and this is a separating experience. You feel everybody else is more worthy than you. They're going someplace and doing something, and you're isolated by your sense of aloneness. You know, I can't sit very well, or I've never learned how to manage this pain in my knee, and I'm gonna give it a try for a day, but I don't think I can handle this pain in my knee more than this day. So that she calls a isolating and separating, a sense of aloneness. The truth is that probably our isolation and separation is our deepest, most common experience. Such a feeling is deeply shared, and we are embarrassed to talk about it. But the community awakens together. As one person comes out of his or her shell, all of our shells begin to crack, and possibilities previously unknown become available to us. That's true in Sesshin. The schedule of Sesshin gives us our boundaries, and we find that we don't like to meet boundaries. We would like to have a boundless mind. But the point of the schedule is to allow people of different rhythms and tendencies to move together through this rather straightforward yet complicated event. Please pay attention as best you can to the rhythm so that we can start and end together with our awakening. The possibilities that were previously unknown. You know, when we were doing our no practice, our just get by as well we can practice, we prided ourselves on mastering all the possibilities. But when someone shows us, or when our practice shows us, that there are other possibilities that we didn't dream of, and we've cultivated this yes practice, this trust in body and mind to be able to embrace the whole world as nothing but the self, in the same way that tennis players are only themselves when they're playing in a tournament with someone else. The whole court and all of their tennis opponents are nothing but themselves. When we can trust the universe so completely, when we can be so intimate with all of the universe, then that feeling of isolation and separation drops away. And that is what we learn in our suffering and searching practice. When we've searched enough and that light is now facing inward, and we see that we're nothing other than the whole universe, and we embrace it the way we can embrace ourselves, the way we don't think that our left hand is separate from our right hand. when we can love and embrace the wholeness of the universe the way we love and embrace our whole self. That's when we are developing trust in this body and mind. When we've dropped body and mind, when we've not only become one with Sesshin, but this body and mind is nothing other than the entire universe. So try to check with yourself every so often. Am I hitting this boundary of Sesshin, or do I just see it as another dance step that I can get curious about and engage with? See how that develops over the time that you're here in Sesshin. From being separate and a place that I have to go to for a day or two or three or four I'm really engaged, I'm really dancing with this now. Thank you. May the merit of our sitting practice and our dancing in Sesshin be dedicated to the oneness, the wholeness, the non-separation that we are, and may we help others to experience their non-separation for all eternity. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow.